3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. It's toasty. I mean, it's 97, but not awful. Believe it or not, the humidity is relatively low, although we've got thunderstorms coming in, and it will be what it will be. You know, it's hysterical. I'm listening to Charles Pyle. Charles, as you know, is our news director, news anchor in the afternoon, just a rock solid real journalist, like the real deal. So we're very, very fortunate to have him on the team in general and on this program in particular. But I'm listening to the news report there. At the same time, I'm actually reading a story about the ACLU of Virginia announcing that they are, let me say, he said, investigating. They're going to investigate ICE. Hey, dear ACLU, go to hell. Sincerely, everyone. God, what a useless, reprehensible organization the ACLU is today in the year 2025. Has it always been this? Well, I suppose it depends who you would ask. There was certainly a time in my life where I looked at the ACLU and I thought, you know, you've got to defend everyone's right to speak freely. I believe that to my core. To my core. I love that First Amendment. And I think everyone has got the right to speak freely. I encourage it. I cherish that right. And that is what was at the center of the ACLU's activities in the past, defending free speech, defending the rights of people who said absolutely despicable, ugly, vile, disgusting things. They defended the rights of the Nazis to march in Skokie, Illinois. Horrible group of human beings. One of whom, by the way, the leader, Frank Collin was the name he used then. I don't know. Number one, I don't know if he's still alive. And if he is, what name he uses now. Because he had, how do you phrase this? He had some negative interaction with law enforcement. That whole really being fond of kids thing didn't quite work out for him the way he thought it was. But nonetheless. The ACLU defended the right of the Nazis to march in Skokie. Why was it so important to the Nazis to march in Skokie? Because Skokie, Illinois, at the time, had one of the largest concentrations of survivors of the Holocaust. The Nazis were determined to march in the streets of Skokie so that people who had escaped the real Nazis would have to look at this collection of misfits and hear them screaming, you know, Hitler didn't finish the job. I don't know. It was all sorts of terrible stuff. It was also my first real look at the ugliness of the real world at times. Because I took a school bus. I was 12, 13, something like that. And there were a group of us. We traveled from Philadelphia. It was part of a group. We traveled out to Skokie, Illinois. My parents I were either crazy or they understood my passion on this, but they let me go. And a hellacious ride, let me tell you. It's not like one of these beautiful limousine coach things. No, this was a school bus. But I went. And I hated the ACLU at that time. I really did. Hated them. Hated them with a passion. I hated Alan Dershowitz at that time because Alan was one of the guys on the front lines defending the rights of the Nazis to speak freely. And years later, well, you know, I mean, Alan Dershowitz pops on the up on this program on a pretty regular basis. I've shared this story with him, and he's laughed. He's, yeah, you know what? You're in good company. My mother hated me. Good for her. But he understood why I hated what he was doing. Believe me, I didn't actually hate. Well, like maybe at the time, because I was a kid, I probably did hate him. But I hated what he was doing. And he said, "It's okay. You know, I'm all good. I just happen to believe in that Constitution." Problem is, the ACLU no longer believes in the Constitution. The problem is that the ACLU has become what many had accused it of being all along, and that is kind of a communist front, socialist front, progressivist front group. Because you take a look at what they do now, there's no defense of free speech. None. They're not interested in that. So this idea that they do not want law enforcement officers engaging in law enforcement activities, I'm telling you right now, you can blow it out your rear end there, ACLU. Full steam ahead for the folks of ICE. I can't believe they showed up at a courthouse. Guess what happens at courthouses all the time? People get arrested. You know why? Because court records are all public. Everybody knows who's going into the courthouse. And diligent law enforcement personnel, who may have outstanding warrants for certain people, take a look at those things. But you know what happens with bad guys? They have a tendency to do bad things over and over and over again. This is not out of the realm of the impossible or even the unusual. It quite literally happens every single solitary day all across America. I don't know if it happens elsewhere. I have no idea. I don't know if the court dockets are public in Australia, or I don't know. So I can't tell you what they do there. But I can tell you, the United States, you have entire units that are warrant units. And you know what they do? Well, they serve warrants, obviously. I always wanted to get on the warrant unit in Philadelphia. God, what a good deal that was. It was, you just did warrants. You just went out and you got bad guys. You served the warrants on the bad guys, took the bad guys away. It was actually a pretty good deal. But anyway, I thought it was good duty, but I never did get into the warrant squad. This, however, is not unusual. This is my point. So let's see. What is her name? Mary Bauer is the spokesflack for the ACLU of Virginia. And let me share it with you, because she gave this to Channel 8. Quote, "The right to access the courts is a fundamental one because all of the rights depend on it. But Virginians who rely on the protection of the courts will be forced to go without it if ICE's presence means Virginia courthouses are no longer safe." Hey, Mary, I got news for you. The courthouses are safer now because additional criminals were arrested. They were taken away. These people won't be able to go to court. Why are they going to court in the first place? Outstanding criminal charges. Wow. Mary Bauer of the ACLU says, quote, "We won't let our judicial system be corrupted into a despotic mechanism for masked men to disappear Virginians. ICE doesn't keep us safe. We do." I don't want you to take it the wrong way, ma'am, but you're not keeping anybody safe. You're not doing anything that is good in this. We don't want to corrupt the judicial system. Yeah, you do. At this point, I would dare say that the entire mission of the ACLU is to corrupt the judicial system. Masked men. You mean ICE agents? Why is it that some of the ICE agents are wearing those gaiters, the face things? You know why? Because there has been an organized effort on the part of TDA and MS-13 and other criminal enterprises to dox every agent and their families with the mission to kill them. So I really am perfectly okay if they decide to cover up just a little bit. I mean, it gets chilly in the courthouse. ICE doesn't keep us safe. We do. No, you're not keeping anybody safe, ma'am. Except for criminals. And I don't know what has happened to the ACLU. I don't know if this Mary Bauer lady has always been advocating on behalf of the criminal element, or if this is a new thing. No idea. Don't care. I want the law to be followed. Period. End of story. That's all. 8 News says it continues to investigate information about those detained by ICE at the courthouse. Investigate? What are you investigating? Really? Who at 8 News is, quote, investigating? What is the investigation? You want to find out who's being held? All right, well, that's fine. I guess that technically would be investigating. make it sound like they've taken out their Sherlock Holmes hat and their magnifying glass, and they're going to be walking around the courthouse down there in Chesterfield looking for clues. You know, if I were you, I would call him Blue, because Blue's Clues are the way to go. That's what I think. Anyway, we got a lot of great stuff coming up this afternoon. The media equalizer, Brian Maloney, is going to be along. He'll be here at 3:35. My friend Ryan Hudson. Ryan is a member of the Board of Supervisors up here in Hanover County. I want to talk to him a little bit about the possibility of this water authority, regional water commission sort of thing. And I want to know about the pay raises up here. The Hanover County Board of Ed gave themselves a 100% pay increase. They doubled their salaries. And I think that's pretty good if you can do it. That's not bad. And then Rob Chadwick. God, Rob is such a... You would talk about some guy who is just all over it. One of the best of the best. Rob is that guy. Rob Chadwick, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, now with the United States Concealed Carry Association. And, you know, Rob joins us on a pretty regular basis. But the whole thing right now, whether you're your church or your synagogue or your mosque or your temple, I don't know, whatever the terminology is in your particular faith, is it safe? Is it safe? Rob is going to address that with us as we head through the afternoon. And don't you go anywhere, because just a moment from now, I have a gigantic announcement. And I'm not, no, Jerem, I'm not giving you any tip-offs. I am looking right now at this new computer laptop screen. And even though Jeremy is not featured, I can feel his presence. No, Jerem, I'm not going to tell you before I tell everybody else. So just be patient, my friend. It is 316 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 321 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. My dear friend Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, is going to be along at 3:35. We'll talk a little bit about what has been, at least in my opinion, a tremendous week of wins. Win after win after win for President Trump. And more examples of epic failures and complete and total lies being perpetrated by so many in the legacy news media. In particular, the one lady over there, the New York Times and CNN, who said, well, you know, there was no damage in Iran. Huh? She had a leaked copy of a very preliminary report. You know that story. You've heard about it. Hell, Mark Warner, the ever constipated Mark Warner, is trying to get, you know, well, I've never leaked anything. Dude. Were it not for your constipation, I gotta sense you'd be leaking all the time and everywhere. But yeah, of course, I don't believe him for a second. Nonetheless, she is the same lady who provided the in-depth report that said all of the allegations about Hunter Biden's laptop, why, it's all Russian disinformation, which, as we know, was complete and total bullcrap. Now, let me share with you a lovely, lovely announcement. In fact, the best piece of information that I have gotten today. You know that this Saturday, June the 28th, I was supposed to be boarding an airplane heading to Israel as part of a major, major mission visit to Israel. I don't know if I shared all of the details with you, because I'm not supposed to share them all, so I guess I haven't. Suffice to say, however, it comes from the very highest levels inside of Israel and some pretty high levels here in the United States. But the trip this Saturday, of course, is off. They canceled it. I shared that with you. That was the worst thing that I had seen in a while. But I just received the official notification not more than 45 minutes ago. The trip is, in fact, back on, and it will be in August. I will give you the details on all of it as it gets closer and closer and closer. But it will be, well, for me, I think it's going to be the singularly most important, most meaningful trip that I've ever taken. I mean, aside from driving Heidi to the hospital to, you know, give birth to our kids and stuff like that. But you understand what I'm saying. So it is a big deal. I am thrilled beyond all belief. But that is going to happen in August. So excited, so thrilled. Just great stuff. Anyway, speaking of great stuff, my friend Brian Maloney will be here at 3:35, the media equalizer. It is 3:25. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRV. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and it's a tad toasty, but I'm telling you right now, it is not nearly as painful as it was for the last couple of days. It's 95, but the humidity is much lower. So you're probably not going to want to be hanging out all that much outside, but you're not going to melt. It's doable. And then we've got all of these thunderstorms rolling in, I guess, a little bit later tonight, and then pretty much through next week, Tuesday, Wednesday. So it's going to get a little damp. All right, we got a lot of great stuff coming up this afternoon. My buddy Ryan Hudson, who's a member of the Hanover County Board of Soups up here in beautiful Hanover County, which is beautiful, and it's absolutely filled up. We have no room for anybody else. I told Rich Herrera that last night. He came over for dinner. We were happy to host him. Talked about how impressed he was with Ashland and Hanover, and I said, yes, it is beautiful, and now you have to leave. So, you know, leave your money, and then everybody has to get out. Rob Chadwick, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, will be here at 5:35. Ryan from the Board of Soups is going to talk a little bit about our Board of Education up here. They just doubled their own salary, which not bad if you can do it. Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, I would imagine, would say, sure, double my salary if, in fact, it was up to him. But he is the guy that takes a look at the coverage, sees what's going on, especially, and keeps everybody as honest as possible. Brian, thank you for being here, sir.
Well, hey, I'd like to triple my salary.
Yeah, exactly.
Why you stop at double?
Can you believe that?
Quadruple. Yeah. I mean, think big, Jeff.
That's right.
You know, you're
working hard. Absolutely. I say.
Well, we went into the wrong line of business. These people in politics are unbelievable. They really are. I mean, they're just shameless.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hopefully we'll get some answers in about an hour. Hey, this was a great week for President Trump, was it not?
Well, I think so. I mean, what in particular, though, Jeff, are you, you know, like what particular thing
well,
did you think?
One of the highlights for me was when he said they don't know what they're effing doing, which I know is inappropriate, but man, I think it reveals for a lot of people exactly who President Trump is. And this whole tour with NATO, where they're referring to him as daddy. I don't know. I just get the sense he really is firing on all cylinders.
Well, he always knows how to anger his opponents. So he always knows exactly where the buttons are to press in someone's back to get them to respond the way he wants. And I think that's the real skill that he will be known for in history, is he just knows how to anger his enemies. Like nobody I've ever seen or will again ever.
He is the guy. All right. Well, what did you make of the week? Victories, losses? What do you see?
Well, I think it's, you know, the problem that I have this year, you know, this time every year, is that you move into the summer, and you know, Congress already does nothing all year long as it is, and then they do even less, you know, in June, July, August than usual, which is bad enough. You know, so are things moving forward the way they could be? No. But I'm not talking so much about him. I'm talking about them, and I'm talking about, I mean, there are still hundreds of appointments that haven't even been made yet.
True.
There's actually a tracker for this that's online. I'll have to get you the address sometime.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line there is that, you know, from my perspective, you know, I think that his picks need to be confirmed. There are many that he has made that have just gone nowhere. And that's up to the Senate to do something, and they haven't been.
Oh, interesting. Well, so what's the holdup? Is it more horse trading going on there in the Senate?
No, I think it's laziness. I think it's just not meeting often enough. They're just not in session often enough. But I also think that the other factor of it is obstruction. You know, you have people within, you know, within his own party that are holding him up on things left and right. It's the McConnell, Murkowski wing.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting on things. And I really think that Mitch still runs the Senate. I mean, John Thune is his puppet. And, you know, I think we should have known that from the beginning. Everyone should have been clear that Thune was a puppet of McConnell. And yet people acted like he was going to be this great, you know, guy that was going to do. It's like, wait, if you've ever paid attention to John Thune all these years, if you've ever, you would know that he is not on the same page. Not at all.
Wow. Is it possible to rectify that, or are we just done?
No, I mean, I don't want to say that we're done in any way. Part of the thing here is that the way things are now in Washington, it's very unpredictable. You know, so it's hard to make predictions like that because a lot of stuff comes out of left field, and it's not just because of the president, but it's just the way things seem to operate there now. I mean, it's something that's new in the last few years or whatever, but there's something, it's always surprises, you know, and so anything can happen. I mean, the Senate composition could change. Maybe somebody passes away or something or resigns or, you know, then someone else is appointed. For instance, say Mitch McConnell, you know, I mean, the guy's barely coherent. You know, and when he is gone, you know, when something happens like that, I know there are some people who are worried that, you know, that the governor would be able to appoint his replacement, which actually isn't true in the case of Kentucky. It would be the legislature that would do it.
Okay.
So, yeah, until the end of that term. So that's what I'm saying. There are a lot of things like that. And I also, because I've been in the news business a long time, and you have too, I have found over the course of many, many years that the weirdest things in
yes.
news cycles happen during holiday weekends, summer
yep.
breaks,
yes.
The day before Christmas,
yes.
I don't know, Thanksgiving weekend,
right.
you know. So we go into July 4th, and that's, you know, people's minds are beginning to get checked out, right?
Yes.
Not just Capitol Hill, but everywhere.
Yes.
You go into, like, this sort of vacation mode time of year. And that, to me, is when things always get the weirdest.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just remember times in newsrooms where you think, oh, I have to work this really slow weekend, and then some blockbuster thing would happen,
yeah.
and people would have to come out of their breaks and come back to work. You know, not that there are many people working in newsrooms anymore, but
well,
there used
true.
To be. They used to be well-staffed. Now they barely exist, but, you know, that's a different story.
And you're right. God, to see. Did you ever think, by the way, and we're going down an interesting rabbit hole here, but did you ever think that you and I, who were, because I've still got the clippings from places like, Talkers and a few other things. Did you ever think that you and I, who were the young guns, the new generation of talk radio, would now be sitting around saying, let me tell you what happened way back when?
Well, that, you know, it's funny. You and I really are in that same boat because 30 years ago or so, we were some of the youngest talkers in the country.
Right.
And I remember catching absolute, you know what,
yep.
from the older hosts who were routinely I don't know, mid-50s and older. Mid-50s was about the youngest host that there was anywhere. And they looked at me like, what are you doing on the air? And I would say, you know what? I don't know how I got here either. It's all kind of a fluky long story. I really can't tell you.
Right.
But here I am. The microphone's on, and it's my name's on it for the next 3 hours. I don't know to tell you, buddy. But but you know how I got through it? I always made friends with the news curmudgeon, the news anchor curmudgeon, who was usually like, you know, 3 years past retirement or whatever, but was going to always be in that news anchor chair. And I befriended them at every station, and I would learn everything from them. I would just listen. And I'm telling you, it was so valuable. Those friendships were incredible. Yeah. And sometimes the station managers would wonder why, am I being so young? I was hanging out with the oldest guy in the station. Well, the oldest guy knew everything. He had all the stories. Yep. You know, he knew how everything worked. And it was fantastic.
Some great memories there. Hey, Brian, I want folks to make sure they are following you in the latest incarnation as the media equalizer on Facebook. Remind everybody what you're doing over there and how they can sign up. They should.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. By the way, I had fun reminiscing there.
Same here. But now, before you even, next time we do that, you need to be here or I need to be there, and there need to be one or two.
Oh, that would be fun. Oh, that would be a blast.
And maybe a beverage or two.
Yeah. We will have to do that. Yes.
I love it.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right. Now, the media equalizer on Facebook.
Yeah, So that's exactly right. So it is one word, media equalizer. And that's the way, that's the best way, you know, in the short time we have here for your listeners to find us. And I'm always appreciative of their support, always.
Excellent. Well, Brian Maloney, I appreciate you being here, my friend.
You will
talk again soon. That is Brian Maloney, the media equalizer. If you are not following him on Facebook, I would urge you again and again and again and again, because I have done it many, many, many times. Check it out. Because what Brian is able to do is analyze the stories, get them to you, frankly, before anybody else has them, and give you the real perspective that you need. And he's the best of the best. I love him. All right, 3:46, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Very disturbed text here from 804. Twice in the last hour, Jeff Katz has said that today is Friday. Germ, do you think people are surprised when I actually answer occasionally the texts? I think they are. I don't think they expect me to answer. But that was an easy one, right? I'm not going to answer some of the crazy stuff. If you're sending a text and it's contained on more than 25 different entries, you might as well be writing in crayon, because you're nuts, and I'm not going to do it. But 804, twice in the last hour, Jeff Katz said today is Friday. No, actually, I have not. That's what I typed back. I texted back. No, I have not. I say Friday Eve. Thank you for listening, mostly, LOL. So, yes, it is Friday Eve. It's a lot easier to take that than the dreaded T word. Just got a lovely note from John Reed, our former host of Richmond's Morning News, now the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor, letting me know that he has officially challenged his opponent, State Senator Ghazala Hashmi. I would say of Chesterfield, or is it Richmond? Or I mean, if she doesn't know where she lives, how the heck am I supposed to know where she lives? But anyway, he has challenged Ghazala Hashmi to 10 televised debates all across Virginia. If Senator Hashmi believes in her ideas, she would welcome the opportunity to defend them in front of Virginians from all walks of life. And John actually proposed a debate schedule to ensure that voters from every corner of Virginia, urban, rural, and suburban, have the opportunity to hear directly from the candidates. He's suggesting two debates in Northern Virginia, two debates in Southwest Virginia, two debates in the Richmond region, two debates in the Tidewater region, one debate at a at an HBCU, historically black college or university, and one debate in Charlottesville. Okay. Well, nice. I think that's right. I think that's great. We'll see what Senator Hashmi has to say. I've got a sneaking suspicion she's not going to be all that interested in participating, which is sad. But then again, if you take a look at some of her activity, she's really good at the AOC-style street protest. Remember, she was down there in front of the church, harassing people and disturbing people who were there for the Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death anniversary commemoration, all that. So I don't know. Maybe she will show up. I hope she does. Oh, somebody sent me a note. Hey, Jeff, you said that you invited Rich Herrera to your house. We did. Rich Herrera, who is the current host of Richmond's Morning News, 6 o'clock in the morning, each and every morning. I would urge you to check Rich out. But he's relatively new to town, and he's here solo. And believe me, I know how that is. I don't care if you've got friends. I don't care if you listen. When you are away from your family, it gets to be a bit of a pain. It's why the studio at the Radio Factory is so clean right about now, because he doesn't have any place else to go. So he's cleaning and vacuuming and dusting. It's really nice. We're hoping he'll come out here to the house and do some of that work. But he did ask me. I said, when was the last time the studio was that clean? I can tell you, and I said, I can tell you exactly when. He said, when? I said, it was 13 years ago. And he said, why? I said, because that I was in your situation. I had nothing else to do. So I was at the Radio Factory every moment of the day. But all of that being said, Rich was up here, and we were just thrilled to have him up here. He was a delightful guest, and hopefully we were pretty good hosts. But the question was he a good guest? He was. He was a very nice guest, and he brought gifts. Some wine, some flowers, and all of that good stuff. So it's nice. It's nice. 357, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It is toasty. 96, getting reports that over in the lakeside area, some really, really heavy rain falling. I'm not sure about everywhere else. Where you are, look, shoot me something on the James River Air text line, all right? 833-804-1140. Again, lakeside area, Glenside, apparently just absolutely torrential downpours, thunderstorms, the rest of it. Up here in the center of the universe, we got nothing. I mean, we've got bright, bright sunshine, which is great for now. But we're all going to get it, just so you know. Just so you know. I am taking a look at that James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Says, hey, Jeff, it appears to me that the Trump team is on the offensive, which is great to see. They're not suffering fools, and they are calling out the corrupt, quote, journalists, unquote, right to their faces. The smug, arrogant news thugs are being put in their place, even as they take being obtuse to stratospheric heights. Keep up the great work. We love you, Jeff. Jim and Deb in Mechanicsville. Jim and Deb in Mechanicsville, I love you too. And I'm going to do my best to keep up the great work. I agree, by the way, with Jim and Deb. They're spot on. Spot on. The Trump team is absolutely, positively moving forward. They're getting stuff done. And the reality is some people don't like it. And the reality from the Trump team is we don't care. We have a job to do. President knows he has a mandate to do these things, and by God, he is doing them. I did just get a note from the Flying Squirrels. Season ticket memberships for the new CarMax Park are actually on sale as we speak. Yeah. Season ticket memberships for CarMax Park's inaugural season are now available. You can have a seat at every Flying Squirrels game in 2026. That's pretty cool. I have not seen the new stadium, so I will definitely take a look if I get the chance. I'd like to see what it looks like. Could be interesting stuff. We are apparently, Jerm is telling me, having some stuff going on back there at the radio factory. But let's take a look. Let's take a listen. There's we're talking about the Trump team being on the offensive, right? Just kind of moving forward. Let me give it to you here. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth is briefing members of the press. And he's saying some stuff, and there's was it the chief of the Joint Chiefs, chair of the Joint Chiefs? I think that's who was with him. If not, I apologize, but I think that's who it was. But I would just want you to take a listen to cut number six. This will make clear to everyone what is, and in some cases is not, really going on. Cut number six.
Was where?
So why not acknowledge the female pilots that also participated in this mission? The early messages that you sent out only congratulated the boys.
So when I say something like our boys and bombers, see, this is the kind of thing the press does, right? Of course, the chairman mentioned a female bomber pilot. That's fantastic. She's fantastic. She's a hero. I want more female bomber pilots. I hope the men and women of our country sign up to do such brave and audacious things. But when you spin it as, because I say our boys and bombers as a common phrase, I'll keep saying things like that, whether they're men or women. Very proud of that female pilot, just like I'm very proud of those male pilots. And I don't care if it's a male or a female in that cockpit, and the American people don't care. But it's the obsession with race and gender in this department that's changed priorities. We don't do that anymore. We don't play your little games.
Nice! All right? Well, how can we say that? I mean, there are women. Look, ma'am, just shut up. Really. Shut up and sit down. Go away. Don't ask stupid questions. I'm always forced to address this. People always say, you know, there's no such thing as a stupid question. And my response is, well, you're wrong. There are stupid questions, and sometimes we hear them. Like right there. There are also irresponsible people pretending to be reporters. Let me give you another example. We were talking about the woman who, up until, well, a couple of days ago, was best known for having written and pushed and pimped the, quote, news story that said the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. She claimed that she had some anonymous sources. Her name is Natasha Bertrand. She had some accomplices on that piece, but nonetheless, she's talking about the strike in Iran. President Trump said we obliterated the nuclear weapons program in Iran. And there was a very low-level initial report that was not for public consumption, and it was quite literally one in the first of many, 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 many analyses that will be done. But this Natasha Bertrand got it. It was leaked to her. So you have to wonder who inside the White House is working against President Trump. Clearly, there's somebody or some people. And she ran the story. And, of course, it's now been proven to be untrue. The first report was accurate based on what the first report was able to see. And then other reports following up have come out, and not all from U.S. sources. That first report was a DIA thing, as I recall, right? Defense Intelligence Agency. But the reports coming out of Iran, the reports coming out of Israel, further reports coming out of the United States. And now CNN is playing cover-up because CNN never once, when they pushed this story, talked about it being a low confidence report or an initial report that was not necessarily completely reliable. But now they're just flat out lying in an attempt to cover for themselves. Cut number one.
But at the same time, we do need to make clear that despite the emotional speech and outrage from the defense secretary, what he said about the DIA assessment is what CNN reported on. His issue that he took about it being preliminary, about it being low confidence. CNN reported on all of this. I was looking back just to make sure that we had it all throughout the reporting process. CNN had reported that it is preliminary and, of course, can be updated, including these two parts. It is still early, we reported in our initial report, for the U.S. to have a comprehensive picture of the impact of the strikes. None of the sources described how the DIA assessment compares to the views of other agencies in the intelligence community. The U.S. is continuing to pick up intelligence, including from within Iran, as they assess the damage. Also in CNN reporting, where the secretary took real issue and seemed very upset about it not being stated that there was low confidence stated in this DIA assessment.
It's in
also
there.
In CNN reporting, including this, the final U.S. military battle damage assessment by the DIA could take days or even weeks to complete. Multiple sources familiar with the Pentagon's process told CNN. The initial DIA analysis was produced just 24 hours after the attack, according to one of the sources, because it was only a preliminary analysis. Its judgments were low confidence, the sources said. It was not coordinated with the wider intelligence community, according to a U.S. official, and the document itself acknowledged that it could take weeks to produce a finalized assessment. So just to put...
It is literally it's, what he
it
said
is a
we
preliminary,
did not report.
It is a preliminary report. The reporting was done.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Now, that's all. Yeah, look, I'm not angry. I'm not disappointed. I'm not shocked. This is what passes for journalism in this day and age. And it is sad. Maybe I'm saddened to see where we are, how far we've dropped, but what they just told you, simply not the case. That's it. All right, coming up at 4:35, Ryan Hudson's going to be with us. Ryan is a member of our Hanover County Board of Supervisors. Good guy. Ryan and I actually served on the Community Services Board for Hanover County for a number of years together. He really is just a good guy. I want to get some updates on this whole water situation, this regional water advisory committee. Can Hanover County build its own dam? What about Henrico? And then I want to know about the brand new pay increase for the members of the Hanover County Board of Education. They doubled their own salaries. If it's warranted, then I want to know. And if it's not warranted, I want to know. I think we'll get some answers from Ryan Hudson at 4:35. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., make sure you are here listening to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. This is coming from some of the folks I know up there in D.C. It is... It's looking like President Trump may name a new chairman of the Fed. No, and he's not firing that Jerome Powell, because we keep hearing that he can't actually fire the president of the Fed, and that appears to be true. Even the president backed off on that. But what he can do, and what is being rumored right now, what's being pitched out there, is that he's going to announce who he will appoint to be the president of the Fed. Powell has another 11 months as Fed chair. Trump is thinking, apparently, look, I think the guy's a buffoon. That's what he's thinking. And I think most of us, we look at Jerome Powell thinking, yeah, it's probably not too far off the mark. So what do you do to cut the legs out from Jerome Powell? Jerome Powell's already made it clear he doesn't like Trump, blah, blah, blah. All right, we got it. But what do you do? If you can't actually fire him. And you can't really appoint his replacement to serve now. Well, what if you just announce who it is that you're going to have as the chair of the Fed when the time comes? Making it clear Jerome Powell has no chance whatsoever of being reappointed. That's really clear even today. But then to say, we are going to have a new Fed chair in 10 or 11 months, but I want him to get up to speed right now. I want him to know exactly what's going on. So I'm naming him. I'm telling you who the replacement's going to be, so we can start having meetings, so business leaders can start having meetings, so that other people can start weighing in. And I think in many ways, it takes some of the wind out of the sails of Jerome Powell, to be sure. But what else does it do? It gives the other members of the Fed board the space to go against the recommendations of Jerome Powell. Oh, it's getting more and more interesting every day. 425, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and we do have a good deal of really nasty weather that is rolling through. And I just want to share some of it with you. Then we're going to chat with my buddy Jeb Hockman. 804 Ryan says, Jeff, I can confirm the 95-64 interchange. It is just awful. Pouring rain, lots of standing water. And my wife is working in short pump. She says it's the same sort of very, very heavy rain over there. Downtown, somebody checking in. Lots of heavy rain there. Nanny Jan says the loading dock next to a Gateway VCU Health. Four pourings. That's a bad one. And you just heard that little comment a moment ago. Mike Chapman, the sheriff of Loudoun County, who's been on this program, he's a good guy. I like Mike. He's retired from the DEA. He said, you know, this idea of no taxes on overtime, that would really, really, really help out law enforcement. It would help out anybody who's in that situation where you're working overtime. Some of us, you know, your salary, it is what it is. But when you get the opportunity to work overtime and then you get saddled with those taxes, boy, that's a double wallop. And they're right. I mean, it hits law enforcement. It hits firefighters, EMS people. Then you talk about the waitresses, no taxes on tips. Waiters, no taxes on tips. Uber drivers. There's some great stuff in there. There's also some great stuff that's going to be happening with my friends at the Virginia War Memorial and we who comprise News Radio WRVA. Somebody who I should point out has kind of sort of straddled both of those worlds through the years is my friend Jeb Hockman. Jeb was the director of a statewide radio network for many years and has been active with the Virginia War Memorial, has retired. How many times now, Jeb? How many times have you retired? Four times?
Well, supposedly
times?
Four. But I still work part-time for the Department of Veterans Services.
And we appreciate you doing that. But, you know, one of these days, I am going to get you a big sign with the dictionary definition of retired and give it to you framed so you can put it up on the wall so you understand the term.
Yeah, I think Becky, my wife, would appreciate that.
Yeah,
how are you doing, my man?
It's
raining out where you are. It's raining where I am here in Enrico.
I got to tell you, it's lovely. I mean, we've got, it looks like somebody turned off the lights. All of a sudden, it's getting dark up here. But, yeah, we're all going to get it. We're all going to get the rain right through the weekend. But Independence Day is looking beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
So, tell me what's going on with the Virginia War Memorial and News Radio WRVA, because we're kind of teaming up on this.
Yeah, your buddy Rich, of course, you both were there when we on Memorial Day when we did the great marathon reading all the names. Well, for the seventh consecutive year, the memorial is going to put out the Hill of Heroes.
Yes.
And what that is they place almost a flag for the name of every one of those heroes who died and whose names were on the wall of the shrine, they put a flag out there on the beautiful grounds of the war memorial. And they're going to be doing that in the morning. And they can use all the volunteers if people would like to come out and help place these flags, 12,000 flags to place. And they're going to start doing it about 8 in the morning. All you got to do is show up and be dressed accordingly and maybe some sunscreen. And, of course, it'd be early, hopefully get done in an hour or two, maybe, mm-hmm. depending on how many volunteers. Yeah. And it is just an unbelievable sight when you see those 12,000 flags right there on the grounds of the memorial, right there off Second Street. And all those flags will be up through July 11th. So they'll be there through July 4th. So everybody should definitely, hopefully you can come down and volunteer and help, but also you got to come and see them. And what a wonderful place to inspire you on Independence Day.
Jeb, what we're trying to do here at the old Radio Factory, there are going to be a bunch of us who come down to help put the flags out, and we want to encourage everybody who's listening to my show or listening to Rich in the morning to get down there. Is there a specific time, and is there sort of a meeting point, a staging point?
Yeah, you get there. They'd like you to be there around, 8 a.m.
Okay.
And just be there. I'm sure if you the War Memorial's pretty easy to get to down on Belvedere. And just free parking, plenty of parking. Yep. Just come on, walk on inside, say, here, I'm here to help place these flags.
I love it. I love it.
They'll put you to work.
what about some of the other activities? Obviously, the big walls are always available, if you will. People can look at those. It's just such a moving sight. What about the inside on Independence Day? Is that going to be
Dr. Clay Mountcastle down there said to make sure I remind everybody, if they haven't seen the D-Day Plus 50, the exhibit about the Virginians who were involved in the D-Day invasion, please, you want to come by and see it, because it's going to be only up for another few weeks before they change out the exhibits.
Okay.
And, of course, there's always a lot of good – I mean, you can spend hours –
yes.
inside, in the air-conditioned part of the memorial, seeing all the exhibits there. And if you haven't done it, you've really missed something. I mean, there's just a lot to see and of interest to everybody. And again, where else are you going to go? It's open. It's free.
Yes.
And you've got somewhere to go and feel inspired about our nation. That's certainly a great place to be on July 4th or any time between now and then.
No doubt about it. Have you ever met somebody who's not been to the Virginia War Memorial?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes, I have.
Wow.
Yes, and when I first got there, I was their first marketing director. To give you an example, they were lucky, because it expanded a lot over the years as we were there.
Yeah.
But the average attendance at the War Memorial each year was around 10,000. And now it's between 75, 80, going up to 90.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be amazed. No, well, there's a lot. There's a lot of people have not been a lot of places, and of course it helps too that, of course, the War Memorial has been down there all those years, right there on the river. But it's only been in the last 15 or 20 years that everything else is built down there. Tredegar, and of course the new amphitheater. And, I mean, that whole area has just been transformed. So I think a lot more people have discovered it. And if you haven't, you're missing probably the most beautiful view of the James River and downtown Richmond that there is.
That's a great point. Gosh, you know, I didn't even think about The View because I normally am so obsessed. I'd like to think in a good way when I go to the War Memorial. But you're absolutely right. Spend a couple of moments outside, and that's a view that is photo worthy. If you're a painter, let me tell you, bring your stuff to paint, right? Because it's just a beautiful, beautiful view.
Well, yeah, a lot of people come down there just to take pictures. I don't know if they still do. I know for many years, the City of Richmond Police Department and other departments like that would come down and bring their new recruits and take the pictures of them down there with that background. Yep. And as I found out over the years, and you'll notice on TV, every one of these TV reporters from every one of the stations, they love to go down and use that background when they're doing the story, whether it's about the Virginia War Memorial or not.
Yeah, you should probably be like Paris Island, make it easier for the reporters. Just paint some yellow footsteps, you know, a couple of yellow images on the ground so they know exactly where that shot is. But
well, it is funny because they do that. Of course, back when I was back there, we offed it and Channel 8 took us up on putting a weather cam up on top of the War Memorial. And they fight to keep that because it's the most what a great view, and you can swing the camera around, you can check out the weather, the streets. I mean, you can pretty well check about everything out in Richmond from that vantage point.
There's no doubt. Well, Jeb, number one, I always appreciate you being here, and you're a good man. You've given so much to our community through the years. You've been such a great friend to me throughout the years, and
a good friend. I consider you and our new guy Rich, love my radio buddies. You know, as I said, I appreciate you bringing that up. I started radio when I was 14, and which was, you know, I think back about that. It's kind of crazy when you think about that because I'm an old guy now.
Wait, before I cut you loose, Mister, are you sure there was radio when you were 14?
Yeah, we had these. It was one of, you know, you remember, you've seen those microphones, the little round things, and and you know, we would speak into them and hold our scripts up, and it was pretty strange, but. There actually was radio, and in fact, I can still do it. It was on WFTR in Front Loyal, and they made us every day on the hour. Every hour we had to say, "This is WFTR, 1450 AM in Front Loyal, Virginia, the grandest little station in the nation."
Nice.
I can still do it.
Look at you hitting the post and everything. You're a good man. Well, Jeb, I do appreciate you being here. We'll talk again soon. Best to your son, the sergeant, and the whole family. And hopefully we'll see you on Independence Day. It's going to be a great event. Listen, the Virginia War Memorial, once again, putting out all these flags, 12,000 flags have to be placed on the lawn. And this is to honor those who are on the wall. They're looking for help this year. We decided at News Radio WRBA, we wanted to pitch in. So I know there's going to be a whole bunch of folks from the station who head down there to help put the flags out there. We want you to be part of that. It's just straightforward. You don't have to pre-register. You don't have to bring anything. Just show up Independence Day, July the 4th, at the Virginia War Memorial about 8 o'clock in the morning. Be prepared just to plant some flags, and when it's all done, you are free to go. And you're free to do that. Well, frankly, you're free to do anything, and that's all as a result of Independence Day. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 4:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 804 says, Jeff, the power is actually going on and off in the Cold Harbor section of Hanover as we speak. All right. Hit me up on the James River Air text line. Give me a full report where you are so everybody knows. 833-804-1140. 804-804-1140. Whether it's good or bad, I don't know, but we don't actually have any rain in the Ashland area. We have the dark skies, and I a little taken aback because I still see a bunch of cars over there in the parking lot by the pool. I mean, if I were looking at the skies, I'd be thinking, yeah, it's time to get out. Nearest lightning, I think, was about 10 miles away. But so it's coming this way. We're all going to get it. That there you go. If you feel like you're missing out right about now, it is coming. And you might very well have the power issues as well. Jeremy was telling me back at the radio factory, all sorts of issues, huh? It's rough over there in the lakeside section of Henrico, and a lot of folks talking about some of the roads with some heavy standing water as well. All right. All of that being said, I will remind you that Independence Day, July the 4th, it's a week from tomorrow. It looks great. It's so nice to see that forecast, and it is looking great, which means that hopefully you'll join us down there at the Virginia War Memorial and put out some of those flags. If you don't want to do that, you can't do that for some reason, that's all right. I understand. Things happen. But you probably would like to come down to see the flags once they're up. So that's another thing that you could do. Pete Hegseth, as you know, I hope you know, the Secretary of Defense. I like Pete Hegseth. I really do. I just think he's hot stuff. He just doesn't take any crap, and he's getting the job done. Take a listen. Cut number 6 is a reminder that you cannot hate certain members of the legacy news media enough. Cut number 6.
Was where?
So why not acknowledge the female pilots that also participated in this mission? The early messages that you sent out only congratulated the boys.
So when I say something like our boys and bombers, see, this is the kind of thing the press does, right? Of course, the chairman mentioned a female bomber pilot. That's fantastic. She's fantastic. She's a hero. I want more female bomber pilots. I hope the men and women of our country sign up to do such brave and audacious things. But when you spin it as, because I say our boys and bombers as a common phrase, I'll keep saying things like that, whether they're men or women. Very proud of that female pilot, just like I'm very proud of those male pilots. And I don't care if it's a male or a female in that cockpit, and the American people don't care. But it's the obsession with race and gender in this department that's changed priorities. We don't do that anymore. We don't play your little games. Yes, right there.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. We're not doing that anymore. That's done. That was the last outfit that played that. The last administration was all about which one of these boxes are we going to check? Oh, we can check this one and oh, it's great. Are we getting the job done? Well, no, the job's not being done. But look at the people we hired who are not doing the job. Isn't that great? No, we want the job. No, well, the job's not going to be done. But again, look at the diversity, the wide, diverse collection of people who we have hired who are not actually doing the work. It's great. Anybody insulted when you talk about law enforcement and say the boys in blue? Because I've heard that expression my entire life. I still hear that expression. Not so much in Hanover, because up here we've got our boys in tan. Does that really exclude the women who serve? I suppose if you want to be offended or insulted, you can be offended or insulted by anything. But I look at it and I'm thinking, yeah, whatever. But I'm a guy. I don't know. Maybe if you are a woman, it strikes you in a different way. I talk about guys, G-U-Y-S, and say, hey, we want you guys to come over. Well, it doesn't just mean the male members of a family. It's pretty general and generic. It's everybody. Do I need to say you guys and gals? Because I do say that as well, but it seems to me a lot to do about a very little issue, right? The quintessential mountain out of a molehill. The folks who flew those bombers, the folks who were on those bombers, did great work and have made our world a safer place for a long, long time to come. Some were men, some were women. they were all heroes, each and every one of them. And I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them. And I'm grateful to them. Coming up tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., Rich Herrera is going to be here. Again, somebody sent a note. I don't know if it was on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Maybe it came out on Facebook. Jeff, we heard that you and Heidi had Rich over for dinner. Is that true? Yes. And then somebody else, was he a good guest? He was very well behaved. He did. He was very, very well behaved. We were very happy to have him here. I'm hoping he had a good time. He was quite responsible, by the way. Last night's selection at Bar-a-Lago was a frozen mango pineapple margarita, and it was good. And Rich said, remember now, I got out-of-state license plates. I don't want to get pulled over. All right. Well, I'm not going to water down your drink. You're just going to have to have less, which he did. I think he enjoyed the meal. Did he give a review on the Jeff Katz sandwich? I'm hoping that that he enjoyed it. Anyway, yeah, we had a great time. We really did. 4:59, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Five oh five, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and depending on where you are, you either have a lot of rain, or you're getting ready to have a lot of rain. It just, seriously, it's just that simple. It's going to be pretty nasty. Some places are already seeing it. Some strong winds, I suppose, are associated with this. You're going to, again, be under this severe thunderstorm warning. And that is going to be with us. It will be here, and it's just not going anywhere for the time being. So there you have it. We'll have it for what? What we figure out. Till next Tuesday, the same sort of weather just about every single solitary day. Coming up at 5:35, Rob Chadwick is going to be with us. Rob is a retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, now with the United States Concealed Carry Association. He actually is the guy who's in charge of all the training, at United States Concealed Carry Association. If you're not a member, you should be. I mean, if you own a firearm, you should be. All sorts of issues come up, and it can be very difficult. Getting a report now, more than 9,000 Central Virginia residents are without power. Let me see where it's Richmond region. It's all Dominion at the moment. Power outages include homes and businesses, 4,200 plus in Henrico, 3,700 here in Hanover, 1,100 in the city. No mention of Chesterfield or out to New Kent or Goochland or Powhatan or stuff like that. So Henrico, Hanover, and the city right about now, about 9,000 Dominion customers without power. I can't imagine that it's going to get better. Obviously, Dominion will be out there, and they'll do what they do and try and get everybody's power back up and running. But there you have it. 804 says, Jeff, I'm about a mile and a half west of I-295. And we're all stuck in the eastbound lane by Creighton Road. Okay. Let me see, Jeff, this is Walt. I just left Mannequin Sabbath on Route 250 heading west. Definitely seeing the darker skies east of there. Everybody ought to be safe on the roads. Please be safe on the roads. Yeah, I agree with you. Anne from North Chesterfield says, hello, Jeff. We are having heavy rain, but it is passing us now. Okay. 804. Says, so excited to hear that you're going to Israel in August. Let us know what your mission will be when you are allowed, and if we can help you, give a shout. I want to go too, praying for everyone over there. Immensely proud of the Israeli-USA decisive action this week. I agree with you. Yeah, I announced this earlier. I was supposed to be leaving this Saturday. I was supposed to be leaving this Saturday, heading to Israel. And it's not a vacation trip. And it is a trip that is, well, I can't share all the details. All I can tell you is this. It is, I guess the phrase you would use, a high level. Does that work? Yeah, I'm going to say high level. So it's very different. They're saying, well, I'm going to go in the Dead Sea. I'm going to see how you float in the Dead Sea. I'll visit Masada. I'll eat really well, you know, and whatever you would normally do on a vacation sort of thing. So this is not vacation at all. I'm sure we'll see some interesting things, but we're not, there's nothing involving touristy stuff. There's some pretty serious stuff that's involved with this, but it was supposed to be this Saturday, and obviously that was canceled when all of this stuff started happening, and it has now been officially rescheduled for August. I promise you, give you everything I can give you as soon as I can give them to you, information-wise. MSNBC, oh, hang on a second, Germ, hang on, I'm sorry, just hold on. You're going to want to take a sip of whatever it is that you might be, sipping right about now, because I don't want to be responsible for you spitting it all over your laptop or phone or on the windshield. So take a sip now, because I am going to share some audio from MSNBC. Awful, awful organization. Oh, God, the worst of the worst. And, you know, I watch MSNBC so that you don't have to. No. Stop. Stop it. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. Cut number three, please.
So you look back at the No Kings protests, in which more than 5 million people turned out to protest this administration and this president, happening on the same day as what was actually not necessarily a badly conceived military parade, which would, you know, was supposed to look at the different eras of the American military. But of course, that became known as Trump's birthday parade, and it was an utter fizzle. And then from that, immediately, we moved into the idea that Trump was going to flex his muscles again in what looks very much like a performative demonstration of might, of violence, of this sort of idea that just by flexing your muscles and exerting power over somebody, that you can get what you want. And the issue with that is that it is, first of all, performative, but second of all, as we all know from our own lives, simply insisting that you're going to get your way by hurting somebody or by dominating somebody very rarely works. And so we're looking at this moment where we're really seeing a test of this idea of sort of performance domination on the one hand versus the real hard work of negotiation and figuring out how to live with people and being able to see, well, we know that the negotiations worked. Is this sort of performative violence going to work? And we'll find out over the next several years. What really stuck out to me, I think, was the degree to which former President Obama is trying to hold open a space for liberal democracy. And by that, I don't mean Democrats, and I don't mean the liberalism that the right wing has turned into an epithet for the most of Americans. I mean the idea of a democracy that protects American individuals, that protects liberties, and makes sure that we are not crushed by forces like industrialization, like AI, like oligarchs, like people who are forcing Americans into smaller and smaller lives. And there's a lot of pressure, I think, from the right wing now to destroy our democracy and replace it with authoritarianism.
Wow. Here's the weird part about that. That woman did not appear to be doing shots. But I'm thinking that before she hit the set, They must have had some sort of a drinking competition backstage. Were she down five or six shots of something? She reminded me like of a Jägermeister person. And no, I don't say that in a nice way, but that's who, that's, yeah. Just crazy. Every buzzword, every left-wing buzzword, and what we did was destroy the Iranians' nuclear weapons capabilities, and she described it as performative. Well, ma'am, let me go in with you on that. Sure, it was performative. It performed a great good for the world. It performed some much-needed adjustment. And it performed exactly as President Trump and his team designed it to perform. So maybe she is right. Maybe it was performative. 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 522, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Rob Chadwick's going to be with us at 535. Rob is a retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, now the director of training for the United States Concealed Carry Association, does an incredible job over there. And if you are a gun owner and you are not a member of United States Concealed Carry Association, I'm telling you right now, you should be. I'll let Rob talk a little bit about that. But the reason I wanted to get him on was to talk about safety at houses of worship. Is your church safe? You're going to go Sunday. Is it going to be safe? What if I'm going over to the to synagogue services on Saturday? Is it safe? Get a little insight from Rob. Are you up to yet another slice of MSNBC? I know you liked me up until that point. Well, all right, one more sip, just quickly. Okay, so it is. It's another piece of MSNBC, cut number two.
That while there is still a lot that is unclear, President Trump's decision to carry out these strikes on Iran does fit a clear pattern for him. Can you explain?
Well, what I wrote was that it fit the pattern of disregarding the Constitution, and I think it really does that. But I think that's also part of a larger pattern that has been part of Republican Party history for the last 40 years at least, and that is a reliance on the idea of dominating others through force, through violence. And you see it really especially in the attack on Iran, because in fact, the Republican Party has called for attacks on Iran since at least 2007. You might remember Arizona Senator John McCain, who was running at that point for the presidential nomination for 2008, talking about bombing Iran with, sort of a ditty from the Beach Boys, Barbara Ann. But the Obama administration actually negotiated between 2013 and 2015 an agreement with Iran that worked. You know, we all believe that it worked, that there was inspection of Iran's nuclear sites and so on. That made sure they didn't enrich uranium, which was the concern about their developing of nuclear technologies. But in fact, the Republicans continually insisted that that was not sufficient. And of course, Donald Trump tore that agreement up in 2018 when he got into office. And now finally, they have bombed Iran. To what end? It's not at all clear. But now that actual fact of bombing has been enough for President Donald Trump today to declare everything's over and now we can all have peace. And there's a lot of performance here. The idea that simply by flexing America's military muscles, we have accomplished what the Republicans and Donald Trump wanted to. Whether or not that's actually the case, we're not going to know for quite a while.
Yeah, I'm good with that, sweetie. I don't know how to be. I don't want to be too nasty. I don't want to sound too condescending, but you're nuts. All right. What happened during Obama was that the Iranians were enriching uranium and building these facilities and developing a nuclear bomb, which is exactly why President Trump had to come in and once again clean up mistakes. Did a nice job, too. It was a great, great moment in time. 525, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WR. 536. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It is, you know, the temp is falling about 85 degrees because we got rain rolling in. We are going to get hit up here in Hanover, I would say, within the next 20 minutes or so. That's the prediction from the weather folks. The rest of Central Virginia, been dealing with it for the last hour or two. And this is going to be with us one way or another, not just tonight, but tomorrow and right through about Tuesday of next week. Tonight, we're talking about very severe thunderstorms. So just bear all of that in mind. Remember the other day we were talking about that that situation? Where was it? Wasn't it out in Michigan? Wayne, Michigan. There's a guy, arms himself, drives his truck to the Cross Point Community Church, opens fire on the families and the children who are attending services. Now, here's the good part. He was stopped. I mean, you have little kids at vacation Bible school. Not to worry. Two guys jumped into this and stopped him. But it wasn't law enforcement, as much as I like to tell you it was, as a former law enforcement officer. It was two church members. They were trained. They were both members of the United States Concealed Carry Association. They had actually completed a special security training for protecting houses of worship about a week before. You know, our friend Rob Chadwick, a retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, headed up the tactical training unit at the FBI Academy in Quantico. He's over with the United States Concealed Carry Association now, and I thought there's nobody better to address this very event than Rob, and I'm happy to say he's joining us. Rob, thank you for being here.
Jeff, always great to be with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Great to hear your voice, sir. So tell us a little bit. Lay out what happened out there in Wayne, Michigan, and how was it possible for two guys with this training to do, well, what they needed to do?
Well, Jeff, you had most of our communities do, have, you know, vacation Bible school going on. It's summertime, and, yep, you know, kids and their families are at church and going to VBS, and, you know, thank goodness that we had two individuals and possibly several more, still trying to get more information on it. But, you know, as someone who is the head of training for the USCCA, I was so just initially just relieved, of course, that, you know, this hack was thwarted.
All right. Let me remind you about a couple of things. First of all, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Rich Herrera is going to be here, Richmond's Morning News. I want to make sure you're here for that. I also want to remind you that tomorrow is, in fact, the final Friday of the month of June. And you know what happens on the final Friday of the month? We bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor, and we will do that tomorrow. All right. We really do have a great honoree tomorrow. I don't ever tell you the names ahead of time, but I will tell you that this particular honoree really does remind me of Lieutenant McTernan and her service to the RPD. So we'll do that tomorrow. All right. Great. We do have Rob back. I apologize for that, Rob. Not quite sure what happened, but just let's get back into this. So the two guys that are there, tell me about the training and how they were involved with the United States Concealed Carry Association.
So, Jeff, as it turns out, both were members, or are members, of the USCCA, and believe it or not, had just attended what we call an official partner event, where we have a free training event, and this one was focusing on protecting your house of worship.
Wow.
And so, you know, clearly this was signed just within the last week. Jeez. And so clearly this was top of mind, you know, for them. And that's the thing is, you know, all of us, in the back of our minds, worry about, you know, obviously protecting our loved ones, protecting the people we care about. Yep. But, you know, there's that, is this ever going to happen to me? Well, you know, as you know, Jeff, as we talk to people after these tragedies, they always say, I never thought it would happen to me. And thank goodness these two individuals had the presence of mind, had worked out a plan of what they would do, and then were committed to take action in the face of real danger. Now, I'm still gathering the facts, but here you had a man armed with, you know, one of these AR-15 style rifles, mm-hmm, you know, clearly outgunning the defenders who were armed with handguns, and yet these guys had the presence of mind and the bravery. I mean, these are heroes.
Yes, and
actually, one of the parishioners, I want to say he was one of the deacons, was running late, and you know, sometimes you think, you know, maybe this is divine intervention. You can't help think otherwise.
Yeah.
The deacon is running later than he had planned, And as he's pulling up in his truck, he sees this individual who is brandishing the firearm and getting ready to open fire. Actually, I think it was that had already opened fire and drove his truck right into this individual. Wow. So had the presence of mind to you know, use his car, and you know, didn't completely incapacitate the shooter, but bought the other responder some time. And that's when the other shooter who was, or the other security member who was armed, was able to incapacitate the shooter and save the day.
Oh, it's a horrible story at the beginning, but thank God it ends the way it does. And it all does come back, Rob. This is your bailiwick. Let me remind everybody, Rob Chadwick joining us. Rob, after a 30-year law enforcement career where he headed up the tactical training unit at the FBI Academy in Quantico, trained all sorts of SWAT operators and protected, six different U.S. attorneys general. You're now the head of training over at United States Concealed Carry Association. So, Rob, you talked about this sort of joint partnership with training. There is training, in this case, is out in Michigan, but here in Virginia, we have great opportunities for people to engage in training as well, right?
That's correct. So USCCA hosts literally hundreds of free classes every single day all over the country. And, you know, again, the place to start your journey, if you're just, you know, how do I get involved in this? I don't even know where to start. Go to our website, uscca.com. There's a search box for your zip code, and it will list out not just firearms classes, but situational awareness, de-escalation, medical first responder, non-lethal options, wherever you want to start or whatever it is that you're comfortable with. Right. We have an instructor ready to give you some training on that, and I encourage people to just take that first step, because just like everyone else that survives one of these situations, you know, they never thought it would actually happen to them. That's and right. Yet here we are, and thank goodness all those kids and all those people inside had those people literally looking out for them, you know, that night.
It is a wonderful ending to that. Rob Chadwick joining us, the head of training for USCCA. With all of these classes, I'm not sure if I heard you correctly. Did you say that they're all open to the public fundamentally and relatively inexpensive?
Almost all of them are free, Jeff. Yeah, okay. We put these on, and of course, you know, the USCCA is a membership organization. We have almost 900,000 members. You know, people just like your listeners all over the country who are just concerned about protecting themselves and their loved ones. And, you know, we have 10,000 instructors around the country who put on this type of instruction. And so, you know, as the head of education and training, it's just an amazing moment after 30 years in law enforcement and training people. And you hear, you know, that work and that time paid off. Right. And these people were able to put that training to work. And just, you know, the bottom line is they had the courage to do something. Yes. So many people are just overcome by events and just overwhelmed. And I tell people all the time, the most important thing is to, one, accept that reality, you know, accept that evil really does exist, as evidenced with what happened last week in Michigan. And two, no one's going to be there to do it for you. Sometimes you got to do it yourself. And that's what happened with these two heroes.
It absolutely. Listen, Rob, when you get a few more details on this, if you don't mind, I'd love to get some further analysis from you, sort of the debrief on that. I want to get you back. I think we're having you on every week or every other week now to talk about this stuff. I want to highlight as well, moving forward, some of the training we've got in Virginia, because I want people to avail themselves of the training. I certainly want them to go to USCCA and sign up. If you own a firearm and you're not a member, you're missing out.
Yeah, Jeff, as a matter of fact, believe it or not, I'm on the way right now to Wayne, Michigan, and I'm going to be meeting with these guys tonight and tomorrow. Okay. I'll get the whole story, and I'm really looking forward to sharing that with your listeners.
I love it. Well, safe travels, brother. I appreciate you being here. That is Rob Chadwick. Rob Chadwick now is the head of training for the United States Concealed Carry Association. He spent 30 years in law enforcement. He was the head of the tactical training unit for the FBI at the academy, trained a number of elite teams, led all sorts of SWAT operations. He's the real deal. I'm going to tell you that right now. And you can take what this man says to the bank. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Yeah, I think that worked out for him, huh? Well, that's been hanging around for a while. That's an oldie, but a goodie. Yeah, that poor MSNBC hack. You know, they put together a song. It's like, and I'm the Beach Boys. Shut up. Is that impolite? Well, you know what? I don't care. Boy, that's impolite. Now, that I know is impolite. There are other people with far better manners than I have. I wish I had better manners. I try my best. What can I tell you? We got rain. All right? It's just the way it is, and we're going to have a lot of rain, and it is going to be pretty severe, the thunderstorms that are going to be rolling through. And they're going to be with us fundamentally until next week. Let's see here. Jeff, I sure hope that the storms do not interfere with your beverage on the deck at 6. Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't know about a beverage on the deck. There will be a beverage. Please make no mistake about that. That is not weather dependent. That is dependent on whether we have a glass and something to put in it. That's the only thing that it's dependent on. But the actual outside weather, no. Is that song 45 years old? No, it's not. Well, okay, the Beach Boys song might be 45 years old. But what's his face? John McCain ran for president, 2008? So I'm going to do math now. Oh, that's not 17 years ago. Really? 1980? Wow. All right. I stand corrected. Never mind. So it is 45 years old. She's still upset about it. What is my suggestion? Take a lap, ma'am. Seriously, walk it off. Rub some dirt on it. You got to move on. Get over it. And that song was spot on, wasn't it? We have done the world a great favor. I say we, like I was one of the folks in the bombers. They have done the world a great favor. President Trump has done the world a great favor. My boys, my daughter, my grandchildren at some point are all going to be living in a safer world thanks to President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. They both have done something that has needed to be done. The Obama crew, the Biden crew, they emboldened, enabled, empowered Iran to have a nuclear weapon. President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu said, no, we're just not doing that. And thank God they did. Thank God they did. Tomorrow is the final Friday of the month. We will bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor. All right, I will give you a little hint. Tomorrow's honoree, who reminds me of Lieutenant Jan McTernan, is a Richmond Police Department detective. That's all you're going to get right now. Have a fantastic evening. Beware the weather. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.